Welcome to Life Community Church. We are a lively, growing church in the heart of Royal Leamington Spa. We trust that this message will encourage you and help you to live a life full of purpose as God intended.
Good morning, church. Hope we are doing good this morning. Lovely. All right. Yeah, we are back to the last and the concluding part of our series, The Easter People. How many of us have enjoyed the series so far? The Easter People. Yeah, so I'm just going to run this morning because there are a lot to talk about. So I want to make sure that I'm able to finish everything on this, as we have no second chance for this, at least for now. We are wrapping everything up. We started this series by Pastor Leanne introducing, of course, when we talk about the Easter people, we are looking at characters involved in the Easter story. So we started with talking about Jesus as a servant, that he came to serve. He put down his royalty, his God, nature, and took on the form of man. But in all that, he chose to serve. And the last thing he did before he went to the cross was to serve the people that were with him. He washed their feet. Then we moved on from there to talk about the story of Mary, you know, breaking the alabaster box and pouring all the oil on Jesus in preparation for Jesus's burial. And we talk about other things. We talk about Pilate. We talk about Mary Magdalene experiencing being the first person to have seen Jesus after he rose from the dead. And this moment, we want to conclude it by talking about hormones. How many of you like doing something you've done before? You know, okay, something that's not really so good about me is, if you invite me for a meal, for example, and of course, I won't ask you what you're going to present, and it happens to be the food I ate for lunch, if you present that for dinner, you have missed the mark. Because I don't like eating one food over and over again. So if I eat it for lunch, I mustn't eat it for dinner. That's just me. But today, we are going to hear the message we heard last week over again. So if you thought you've heard it all, get set for another part of last week's message. You know, it was shocking when the guest pastor talked about, when he said, let's open to John chapter 20, I was like, don't go there. That's where I'm going next week. So we're going to hear about Thomas again today. It's going to be the concluding part. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Almighty God, for the opportunity to hear your word this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you speak to us individually. Lord, let your word, Lord, reconstruct us to be fit for the purpose, oh God, you have created us. That in the end, Lord, we will align ourselves to our kingdom purpose. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So I'm going to dive quite quickly because we need to wrap this series up today. Okay, so we're going to John chapter 20 and we start reading from verse 19. Okay. On the evening of that day, of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. You know, the disciples of Jesus were the most fortunate people of their time. Was fortunate because they were with Jesus and they had the privilege of receiving direct teaching from the Messiah. That was not just about that. They experienced all the beautiful miracles you could imagine. You know, a life where there was no lack. The needed morning, Jesus sent Peter, go to the sea, at the first fish, you will see a coin there, pay the tax. They were hungry, they needed to feed 5,000. Jesus said, what do you have? Five loaves of bread. Is it five loaves of bread or two fishes? Whichever one. And he fed 5,000. Wow. Jesus was afar away in the sea, and they saw him walking on water. What an amazing experience. They've seen amazing things, and their life was, you know, little butterflies flowing all over their body. I mean, they were so excited to be with Jesus. And even when Jesus talked about his death, they were like, no, you will never die, because they loved it this way. A life where everything was bare of roses. There was nothing lacking, nothing missing, everything. Jesus needed to ride a donkey. Just go there, get anyone you see. And if anyone asks you, say the master needs it. And that settles it. Whoosh. I wish I could go to Jaguar Land Rover and just pick. Oh, you see that? What a beautiful life that is. Don't go for Vela, that's too small. Go for the Vogue, you know that one. And if anyone asks, you say the master needs it. And that settles it. What a beautiful life that was. That was the life they lived. And they really so loved it. They wanted that life never to end. But one day, to their own amazement, the master was captured. And not only that, he was embarrassed, spat on, beaten. Oh, what's going on here? Remember, they have attempted to stone Jesus before. He escaped because his time hadn't yet come. But this time, in fact, someone did mention that maybe Judas thought, let me sell him, because if they come for Jesus, he will. Phew. But he was shocked that that wasn't the case. That was the life they were living. So beautiful. But they saw Jesus being stripped, a crown of thorn on his head. What? A Messiah. And to crown it all, they saw him on the cross with a spear on his side. And the master gave up the ghost. You may not understand the intensity of the fear that the apostles of Jesus would be going through at this moment. Because everything they thought they would have had is crashing down on them. And the Bible said, for the fear of the Jewish leader, they locked themselves in the room. They were terrified. They trembled that if God, the miracle worker, our master, could be this dealt with by men, what about us? What's coming? What's going to happen to us? So they were afraid. And in the midst of that fear-struck life, the Bible said Jesus appeared. And the first word he said to them was, peace to you. I don't know what you're going through right now. There may be some things, you know, going on in your life that you are not even so comfortable telling people. You may be, going through nights of sleeplessness because of issues in your life. All I need to let you know this morning is that the peace of God is coming into your life this moment. When Jesus came, he didn't ask them, why are you afraid? He didn't tell them, why are you locking the door? No. What he said is, peace be unto you. Remember, the Bible told us, Jesus first taught his disciples that the peace I give to you is not like the one the world gives. It's not like that. His peace is ocean, storm, coming peace. His peace is fire-quenching peace. When that peace comes into your life, no matter the chaosity you are into, comes it. No matter the troubles you are going through, when the peace of God comes into your life, It tranquilizes every trouble in your life and gives you the rest that you need. Peace be unto you. In the midst of that fear, in the midst of that trouble, in the midst of that darkness, not knowing what could happen next, not knowing what could happen to their life. Remember, they have given up their professions. Remember, Matthew have left tax collecting. James, John, Peter, they have left fishing. And all of them, they've left everything. They thought this was their hope. This is everything. They saw that crashing down. And you could understand why they had to lock the door. You could understand why they have to, secure themselves, because they cannot even see. Because they were in a terrific condition. But thank God for Jesus. He came and he spoke peace into their life. And Jesus said, peace be with you. After he had said this, verse 20, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Hallelujah. When their hope was gone, when they thought they have come to the end of the road, Jesus came, and that sparked joy in their life. And I pray for someone this morning that wherever you are lacking joy, that God will be, the presence of the Holy Spirit will appear in your life, and the joy of the Spirit of God will be restored to you in the name of Jesus. He's the joy restorer. He's the peace giver. When he gives you peace, that peace settles everything around you. That's the God that we serve. He gave them peace. Verse 21. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. You see, when you are at the lowest moment of your life, all you need is God. When things are so bad, all you need is God. Now, I want to zero in on what Jesus did here. The Bible says, and with that, he breathed on them. Now, the word translated here is the same word that God used in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, when he formed man from the dust of the ground. The Bible says he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. It's that same word that was used in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9, when God looked at the dry bone and asked Ezekiel, God told Ezekiel, speak and breathe on these dry bones. Is the same word, and that word was used only 3 times in the scripture. And if you look at the first 2, you understand the state of the disciples. The first 2, 1, an image formed from the ground that's lifeless. Number 2, bones that were dried. Bones that were dried. And if you look at these 2 scenarios, the image on the ground without life, bones that were dried with no life, you will understand, or you can at least estimate the real state of the disciples. I repeat that. An image molded on the ground with no life. Dry bones with no life. And disciples with no life. Because when Jesus had died, everything they could ever imagine disappeared. They were as best as dead men. The vision of Peter, "I will build my church upon you," died. The dream of James and John, who will be on the right and on the left, died. Everything about them, all the hope they had, perhaps those who thought if Jesus become the governor or the president of Israel, they will become the minister of economics and the minister of finance, all that died. Everything died. Aspiration died. Vision died. The mission they received died. Everything died. And they needed the breath, a fresh breath of the Holy Spirit. And I pray for someone today that whatever have died in your life, may they receive the breath of the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. They died. And Jesus have to release the same breath he made man with. The same breath that resurrected the nation of Israel. That same breath was the breath that Jesus breathed on them. And the Bible says he breathed on them as they received the Holy Spirit. And that was very important because the assignment that Jesus had for them was not an assignment that you need education to fulfill. Was not an assignment that you need connection of man to fulfill. It was an assignment that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Yeah. Without that, you can't go further. Yeah. So, they had to be released. Jesus had to release a fresh breath. A fresh breath of the Holy Spirit. And I just pray that in every day of our life, as we walk through the earth, that God will give us a fresh breath of the Spirit. That we sharpen our vision. That we put power into us to fulfill everything that God had called us into. Fresh breath. Receive the Holy Spirit. And if you forgive anyone's sins, they'll be forgiven. And so if you forgive anyone's sin, their sins will be forgiven. Shall we please go back a little bit? Okay, yeah. If you forgive anyone's sin, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. So this was part of the mission that Jesus gave to them after he released the Holy Spirit to his disciples. Now in verse 24, we saw something very dramatic. Verse 24. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. I want to pause. Why was Thomas not in church? Why? Could it be that he was so afraid that he was even scared of coming close to the group so they won't be identified? I don't know why Thomas was not in church, but he wasn't. And I wanted to understand this. By reason of him being absent, he missed out of the peace that should calm the fear they had. By reason of him being absent from church, he missed out from the fresh breath of the Holy Spirit that's supposed to empower him for the work that God had called him for. So, when you miss church, it's not really about someone calling you to tell you, "Oh, why did you miss church today?" It's not really about, "Pastor, we ask you, why didn't you come to church today?" It's not about that. Someone once said, when you disobey, you don't know what you lose. You only know what you gain. Because you can see, if you don't go to church, yeah, you are sleeping at home. But you cannot estimate what you lose when you don't gather. Because when you gather, You create an atmosphere for the power of God to flow. Not that it can't flow in your house, it can, but when we gather, we put forces together, we create an atmosphere for the power of God to flow, and that changes a lot of things for our lives. Thomas wasn't there. And because he was not there, look at the immediate effect. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger there where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." You can't blame him. You can't blame Thomas, because Thomas at this level was at the lowest life in history. He was at the lowest in his spiritual walk. So when you come to church, you don't just come to church because you want to count, add to the numbers. You come here, God pushes strength into you through worship and the word. So don't miss church, because every day you come to church, you are receiving fresh oil, fresh power to go into the world for the week and be whom God has called you to be. So because Thomas was not in church, he became doubtful. Now let me tell you, I know we always like to call him Doubting Thomas, but honestly speaking, Thomas wasn't always a doubtful person. He wasn't. And I want to see where the gap is. Thomas was one of the most fantastic disciples of Jesus. One, Thomas was a passionate and courageous follower. That was whom he was. When there was an issue, when Lazarus died and Jesus says, let's go wake him up. He was the only disciple that spoke up. Let's go die with him. Let's go die with him. He was courageous, no matter what it takes, because this is a friend that Jesus loves. No matter what it takes, I'm passionate to see what's going to happen to Jesus, because his friend has died. So let's go. So he was not just a doubting Thomas. He was very passionate in following the Lord. He was very courageous in going with Jesus wherever Jesus went. And not only that, Thomas openly admits when he doesn't understand something. He interrogates things to understand better. You know, in theology, they say we are all theologians. Okay? There are two models of theology: the embedded theology and interrogated theology. The first is you believe whatever you are told. We are Christians. You just know, all right? That's whom you are, embedded theology, because that's what you just saw and you believe. But the other interrogative one is where you question everything, not because you want to doubt or disbelieve what he said, because you want to reinforce your belief. Okay? Now, that was the kind of person Thomas was. He was very inquisitive. He asked Jesus. When Jesus said, "Oh, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it's not so, I wouldn't have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. When I come back, I will take you to myself." He said, "Jesus, where are you going? How do we know the way?" So if Thomas hadn't asked that question, we would not have had a defense that Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. So a man who walked with a depth of revelation like this is not a mere person. So that's why Paul says, "Whoever thinks he stands, take heed lest you fall." So Thomas was not a mere disciple. He was really solid rock. He was a strong, courageous, inquisitive disciple of Jesus. But when he missed out of the fresh breath of the Holy Spirit and of the peace that Jesus releases, he became doubtful, because he lacked the strength to believe. He doubted everything he heard. And because of that, Jesus, the Bible says in verse 28, as I begin to have 26, a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. This time around, it was emphasized. Brother Thomas came to church. Amen. That's good. But you see, despite the fact that he doubted, Jesus still showed up. And when Jesus showed up, look at what happened. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your hand, put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believing." It's very serious, but also there's some level of, it's a little bit hilarious in a way. You know, stop doubting, believe. Now, the first thing you would have expected is that when Jesus appeared, he shouted at Thomas, "Thomas, after everything I've taught you, why are you behaving like this?" He didn't do that. That's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. He came, "Peace be with you." And immediately he said that he addressed Thomas. "Thomas, touch my hand. Bring your hand out. Touch my side." Every question Thomas had, Jesus answered them. Why? Why? Normally, I would have asked Thomas, "I taught you I was going to die and 3 days I will rise again. Why were you doubting?" I would have asked him that question. But Jesus didn't go there. He asked him to touch his side. But one thing I really want to stress here is this. No matter the state you are, when you come in the presence of Jesus, your doubt dies. He was doubtful, but Jesus came. The presence of God can do a lot more in your life than anything else can do. The presence of Jesus. So if there's anything you must treasure in your life, treasure the presence of Jesus. And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, on this, I will say to us, don't hide your doubts. Don't hide your doubts. Now, it's different to doubt and, you know, act negatively. Even though Thomas doubted, he still showed up. All right? He doubted, but he showed up. When you doubt, what do you do? What do you do? Don't doubt. Because Easter people, we don't hide our doubt when we do. But what we do, we bring them to Jesus. "Oh Lord, I don't know what's going on in my life. You said you are the good God, but I can't see that good in my life right now. Lord, would you help me?" Bring your doubt to God. He understood what Thomas was going through. And he chose to show up. And when he showed up, he asked Thomas to touch. Because his goal was to restore Thomas. So please bring your doubt to Jesus. The first thing we must learn is that honest doubt can lead to unshakable faith. Honest doubt can lead to unshakable faith. Let your doubt lead you to a level of interrogation with God's word to learn more about God, not to depart from God. Let your doubt bring you closer to God. Thomas doubted. And what happened? When he doubted, Jesus showed up. He responded, "My Lord and my God." The first ever mention in the scripture of Jesus as God. Thomas, in the revelation of the person of Jesus, established his divine deity as part of the Trinity. My Lord and my God. Which means for him, touching your finger doesn't matter anymore. Lord, I wanted to see where you, that's your side, but that doesn't matter to me anymore. Now that I have seen you, my doubt have died. You are my Lord and my God. Let your doubt lead you to God, not out of God. Number two, faith grows through encounters. Faith grows through encounter. Christianity is not a religion. It's a life of encounter. It's a life of encounter. There is no Christianity without encounter. He said unto them, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. If you drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt you. All these are encounter. We need encounter to reinforce our faith. Any person that preaches to you and say you don't need encounter, just follow Jesus. It's all about love. You can't even love him with no encounter. Encounter are physical evidence that reinforces what we believe. That's what it is. So God on Jesus understood that if Thomas doesn't have the encounter he needs, the length with which he can go after now might be questionable. So he gave him the encounter that he needs. Divine encounters are part of our journey on earth. And these are the things that strengthen us. For example, I went through a period of no job. And the only thing that held my faith strong was remembering when I was in Spain with no job, with nothing, God sustained me and I was able to do my studies and finish. And each time I remember that, I'll let God thank you because you did it before. You can do it again. So what are the encounters you are having in your life? If God heals you before and you see something even more terrible, if he can heal headache, he can heal cancer. If he can heal a cold, he can heal diabetes. If he has done it before, he will do it again. Divine encounters, they help to grow our faith. So don't live without them. If you need one, say, Lord, I need divine encounter. If you don't have it by praying that alone, get people together. Let's pray. I need encounter. I need encounter. Every day of my life, I pray for the manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because he said the manifestation of the Spirit is given to profit with all. Faith grows through encounter. As Thomas saw Jesus, as he encountered Jesus, he burst out, my Lord and my God. Lord and my God. Faith grows through encounter. The last thing I want to share is that evidence matters, but isn't everything. Even Bible told us that faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So evidence matters, but evidence is not everything. First of all, we need to believe before evidence comes. Jesus said, because you see me, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. Blessed are those. God wants you to believe. God wants you to trust him. Even though you still have that sickness in your body, God wants you to trust him. He wants you to believe him. Even though things are not going the way you want, God wants you to believe him. Because through the believing, you receive the evidence. God wants you to believe him. God wants you to believe him. Because as you begin to believe, the first thing is you have the blessing of his peace. That's the first thing that comes to you. That's why he said, pray always with all prayer. When you believe and you pray, the first thing God does is that he sends his peace into your heart. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7 says so. Go read it. He sent peace into your heart. That's the first blessing. Then when that comes, follows the manifestation. So God wants you to know that he needs men and women that can trust him no matter how dark they are feeling right now, no matter how hopeless things are turning in their lives. That he is God, he never changes. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the evidence will follow. The evidence will follow. I don't know where you are in your life. I don't know what's going on in your life today. God just wanted to trust him. All the factors around might point to the fact that God does not really answer prayer. But he's still saying to you, he's still saying to me, just trust me. Trust me. For blessed are those who have not seen me and believe. Blessed are those who have not seen me and believe. What's going on? Just believe God. Believe God. He have done it before, he will do it again. If he have changed a life, he will change your life. If he have healed a soul, even though you don't know the person, he will heal you. If he have raised someone up, he will raise you up. He's the same God. He never changes. The Bible calls him the same yesterday, today, and forever. Church, it's our time to trust God. It's our time to believe him. No matter the state we are, no matter the condition, no matter what we've been told, we need to believe God. And when we believe him, then we begin to see the evidence. Thomas, Jesus said, because you have seen me, you believe. But bless is me. Bless is you. Bless you are all of you. Blessed are you all. Seen or believe. This morning, can you please rise to your feet as we talk to God this morning together? I don't know the doubt in your heart. And these are always triggered by the experiences of our daily life. You know, God just wanted to open up. God wanted to own up. Lord, I don't know if this is real, but I believe. Lord, I don't know if you can do this for me, but I believe. God wants you to believe him like that. This morning, I just want to ask God to strengthen your faith. Just want to ask God to strengthen your faith in every area of your life where you are having doubt right now. Just ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on you. Just ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on you. And church, if you can speak in other tongues, I just want to be able to speak in other tongues right now. Because when you stir the fire of God, he sends his peace into your life. Oh, rada ba shen kalabadadada. Inda bo siyada ba sen talabo shiyarababa. Lenkrado iziado siyakapala. Lenbrada diye zi talado shadaba. Lengrado zente palianto shadaba. Legrada iano siye kapapa. Nendelebedegedayonsayadaba. Oh yes, begin to speak it right now. Don't hold back. Don't hold back because you are stirring something in your inside. You are stirring something in your inside. And it's going to breathe peace of God into your heart. Hey, la baba shande balakoshia. Reina dada zike kalon sadabaya. Oh, yes, Holy Spirit, breathe on us this morning. Breathe on us this morning. Breathe on us this morning. Oh, wherever we have been shattered, breathe on us this morning. Le braton shadabe zagadaba. Lembraha shukade bereonzianda magata. Erebonta shilabo rante shababa. Oh, yes, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless your name. Hallelujah. If you are here this morning, I just want to pray for you. If you are here this morning, you are not sure whether you are saved. You still doubt in your heart. Am I really sure I'm a follower of Jesus? Am I sure that Jesus knows me? Am I sure if the trumpet sound today that I'm going to be raptured? Am I sure I'm in the fold of God's family, even though I come to church? If you're that kind of person this morning, you want to give your life to Jesus, whether you are online or right here in the auditorium, I want you to pray with me this morning. And church, shall we encourage everyone who wants to recommit their life to Jesus. And let's pray this prayer together. Dear God, thank you for sending your son Jesus to die for my sins. I believe he died, was buried, and rose again. I repent of my sins and receive your forgiveness. I confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. So today, I hand control of my life over to you and decide to live for you. Please help my life to make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen. I just sense that I should pray for someone this morning. If you know you are going through stuff in your life that you have tried to resolve, but it seems the thing is just persisting over time. You've been praying and you've been praying and it appears it's not going away. Jesus is here this morning. If you're that person, can you just put your hand in your heart? I just want to quickly pray for you. My time is up. Whether you are here or online, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bring that brother, that sister into your hand this morning. Lord, that is trusting you, God, for that thing, that want that mountain to be removed, that want that situation to come to an end, that want, oh God, that need your peace right now in this moment. Lord, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you locate that person this morning and let that issue, oh God, be resolved. And, oh God, today bring an end to it in the name of Jesus. Lord, I speak peace into every heart that desperately needs it right now. Lord, I speak your strength into every heart, into every feeble bones right now, this moment. Lord, I pray for that brother, that sister that is weak in faith and needing, oh God, your power, Lord, to be strong again. I pray, Lord, that they receive fresh presence, fresh power of the Holy Spirit. Lord, thank you, Lord, because you are faithful and you always hear and answer our prayers. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.